We'll begin reading at verse 6 tonight as we talk about God's cure for worry. I'm sure no one ever has a problem with worry. Anxiety. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 6, Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Can you say amen?
Amen.
1988, some of you might remember, you may not remember the gentleman's name, Bobby McFerrin. He won 3 Grammy Awards for a song that he sang. It wasn't a song with very much intellectual depth. It did not have any tremendous musical style. It's just a simple song, repeated one phrase about 20 times, and that simple phrase was, "Don't worry, be happy." Some of you knew. Think about it. I mean, what would a song with such a very simple tune, a very shallow message in many ways, I mean, just don't worry, be happy. How could a song like that win 3 Grammy Awards? Well, could it be because worry and anxiety are at the core of the human experience today? People everywhere are looking for an answer to help them overcome their anxiety and experience true joy in life. People everywhere would like to be able to not worry and be happy. I had to go listen to the song. I remembered some of the words, but of course it starts out, at least the guy that's Bobby there, he whistles a lot of it, and he kind of gets you into the song. But there seems to be no end when you look at our culture today, look at the world that we live. There seems to be no end to the anxieties that are woven into the texture of life's experience. One writer spoke the truth when he said, "Worry reigns over more human beings than any other king. Worry reigns over more than any other ruler in life." There was no less. I mean, that's true today, and that was true in Paul's day. Worry was an issue. And that's why the words of Paul, they were important for the Philippians as he wrote to them, but they're also important for us today. Paul, he provides for us a cure, a God cure for worry. Can somebody say praise the Lord?
Praise
Amen.
The
Lord. God has given us, we have here, the inspired word of God written through the pen of the Apostle Paul to help us know how we can live without worry and not just be happy, but be joyful. Amen. Being joyful is a lot deeper than being just happy.
That's right.
Amen. And so it's not just don't worry, be happy, but we want you not worry and be full of joy. So let's see what Paul says here, beginning at verse 6. Be careful, he says, for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Paul begins by saying, do not be careful, or do not be anxious about anything. Not too easy, is it? Though it's easy to say that. Don't worry. But it's a whole other thing to live that out. That word careful or anxious, as we could translate it, it means to be pulled in 2 different directions. To have our energy is divided. Think about it. When we're worrying, we're being pulled in 2 different directions. It comes from an old English root word that means to strangle. And worry and anxiety will strangle us. The kind of anxiety that Paul was talking about here is an unhealthy fretting that pulls us in 2 different directions, distracting our focus and diluting our energies. It's pulling at us. Worry pulls at us, and it doesn't pull the right way. Someone defined worry as interest paid on trouble before it's due. Interest paid on trouble before it's due. Paul said, worry has no place in the life of the Christian. And I've got a Bible, one of my Bibles I used years ago, and I've got it written in on the front leaf. And there's a statement I ran across years ago that said, worry is the acceptable sin of the church. Not that we should accept it, but too often we accept worry as being, well, it's okay, but the Bible says it is not okay. Amen. And that is why we need to understand that the kind of anxiety which immobilizes us and strangles our spiritual energy, it is a sin. Worry is the sin of distrusting the promises and the power of God.
Amen.
Amen. Do not be careful. Do not be anxious, Paul said, about anything. Lord, help us. Amen. But Paul makes it very clear. Notice that Paul, when he said that, do not be anxious about anything, he doesn't put a period there. He puts a comma. And it's followed by some instructions on how that command can be carried out. And notice what Paul instructs there in verse 6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication or petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So notice, if you will, three different words Paul uses here to describe to prayer. Prayer is one of those. And when he talks about praying, he said what he's talking about is this idea of adoration and worship. You know, the model prayer that Jesus gives us, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. So when we begin to pray, when we find ourselves anxious about things, what we should do first and foremost is what? Pray. And as we pray, we adore and worship God. Lord, I thank you, I praise you because of who you are, our Father who art in heaven. Amen. He is the God of all creation. He is greater than our circumstances. Amen.
Amen.
He is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who supplies our needs. He is our all in all. And so we begin with praying a spirit of adoration and worship. The second word is supplication or petition, which means an earnest sharing of our needs and problems with God. I mean, we might as well share them. He knows them.
Amen.
Amen, for sure. I mean, we don't. I know people. I don't need to. No, we do need to pray, because prayer is coming to Him. We're supplication or petition. We are earnestly sharing our needs, God. And really, what we're doing is saying, God, this is something I can't handle.
That's right.
God, this is something I can't deal with. And so, God, I'm bringing it to you. It's not so much as earnest sharing. It's earnest giving. God, I'm giving this to you. Amen. And so we petition, we call upon God. And then the third word there is thanksgiving, which means it's an expression of appreciation to God for who He is and what He does. And so think about this. And this, we need to train ourselves. We need to be very intentional about this, because it's easy to worry. It's easy to get fretted. It's easy to be for anxiety. I mean, our stomach gets tied in knots. Our mind is just all out of sorts. We're being pulled. Amen.
Amen.
We've been pulled in two different directions, and it's not a good place to be. But Paul, as he tells us here, we come with prayer and petition and thanksgiving. Notice, you will, where he puts the emphasis. The emphasis is not on the fact that they are to adore God and worship Him, which we should, nor is the emphasis on the fact that we are to lay all our troubles before Him, which we should. The emphasis is on the fact that we are to worship God and lay our troubles before Him with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is the key. Amen. It is when you begin to be thankful to God for who He is and for what He's done, it kind of helps diffuse the worry. Amen. What this means here is that we begin by praising God for the fact that in your present situation, think about that, in your present situation, He is mighty God.
Amen.
Now, as you say, Pastor, this is happening, and this is going on, and I've got health issues, I've got family issues, I've got financial issues, I've got all these things going on. But in the midst of your situation, and in every situation, we should begin with this idea, or this reality, that God is the mighty God. Amen.
Right. Amen.
In your present situation, not only is he the mighty God, but he's also the sufficient God. He is sufficient. He is more than, what that means, he's more than enough. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For your need, for your circumstances, we serve a God who is more than enough. In your present situation, as in every situation, Paul tells us in Romans 8:32 that he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, will also with him freely give us all things. So in the midst of your situation, we know we have the mighty God who is the sufficient God, who is the God who freely gives us what we need in the midst of our circumstances. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, sometimes when we think of what we need, that doesn't mean life is going to be easier on us.
Amen.
We may need that trial. We may need that test. We might need the situation that we're in, because what God is wanting to teach us is that you can trust Him. Amen. We can depend upon Him, and we should. And so when we approach life situations with thanksgiving, knowing that He is the mighty God, knowing that He is sufficient, knowing that He gives what we need, we begin with wonderful assurance and conviction, which brings us to the end of anxiety. It's not a pill we need to calm the nerves.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The pill bottle sometimes is the quick fix. And there are times that medications have their purpose in place. I understand that. We need to, the first thing we should do as believers is pray.
Yes, amen.
To be anxious. I mean, when we're anxious, it means, I'm not able to deal with this situation. And we find ourselves at that point, we're unable to see beyond ourselves or our situation. I can't deal with this. And we're just overwhelmed with it and we're caught in it. If we'll approach life's situations with thanksgiving, knowing that He is the mighty God, that He is the all-sufficient God, that He provides, when we do that, we praise God that He's able. He is able to deal with this situation.
Amen.
And all things are possible with Him. And therefore, we at that point, we see beyond ourselves, we see beyond our situation, and we see that He is greater than whatever we are involved in. Amen.
Amen.
Please understand, this is why worry is a sin. Because it is based on the assumption that God is not able to take care of our lives.
Amen.
Worry is a theological problem. Now, theology is kind of the science of Scripture, so to speak. Theology is man's attempt to understand the Bible, understand God. Theology proper is the study of God. But worry is a theological problem, and the solution is to expand our concept of God to recognize that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
That's right.
That's what Paul said in Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 20. Now to Him, who is Him, is Christ. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amen. A lot of
Amen.
People quote that verse a lot of times. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, and they stop there. I mean, that they made a correct statement, but they just didn't make a complete statement. According to the power that works in us. Amen. God has deposited something in us, hallelujah, that is bigger than our situation. Hallelujah. The power of the Spirit, to Him be glory. Paul went on to say, in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. And he says, amen, so be it.
Amen.
So the first step in facing anxiety is to bring God into the situation through prayer. What will be the result? Well, we see in verse 7 what it will be. And the peace of God. Can somebody say praise God for His peace?
Amen.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through. When we pray with thanksgiving, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Now, the New Testament speaks about peace with God, but it also talks about the peace of God. Peace with God is what we experience when we come into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 5:1, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, We have peace with God through Christ Jesus. When your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we have peace with God. But you know, there are folks who have peace with God that don't have the peace of God. The peace of God is what we experience as we live out our lives in that new relationship to God. That's what Paul referred to here in Philippians. Paul called it a peace which transcends all understanding. I saw that in my aunts that passed away just a few months ago. My mother, one of her older sisters there, Cokie. Cokie had a peace of God. She knew she was dying. Went to the doctor one day, and the doctor says, "You've got it's cancer all through her body." Didn't even know it was that to that point. And visited with her, and she had a peace that passed all understanding. Pastor, he told a similar story. He had gone back to do a funeral at a church that he had pastored years ago, and while at the graveside, one of the former members, she came up to him and began to talk to him a little bit, and she'd gone through a cancer ordeal, had the operation and the treatments following, and she had been pronounced cured at that point. But now the problem returns at this point that he's there, and she was scheduled to go to the hospital for some more tests to determine the diagnosis, and she was telling the pastor the story, and she said to him, I was worried and I could not sleep, but then I began to pray. And she said, "I prayed and I prayed until I came to the place where I said, 'Lord, whatever you will.'" And at that point, she said, peace came over her like she had never experienced before. She went into the hospital and the test confirmed the worst. Her cancer was advanced. It was nothing could be done, for, humanly speaking. And she said, even with that report, she said, there was a peace. She said, "I wasn't troubled. I wasn't worried. All my friends came to visit and saw how I responded, and they said, 'We don't understand how you can take it like this.'" He said, "Preacher," she said, "I don't understand it either." She said, "I think it must be that peace that passes all understanding."
Amen.
Amen. And there are those times that, and I've had those kind of experiences where the mind doesn't understand it, and you can't explain it, but still there's a peace that passes all. This lady learned, and others have learned, what we surely need to learn, and we have two choices that confront us. Our hearts can be torn apart by our anxiety, or our hearts can be guarded by the peace of God. And we know what the enemy wants. What makes the difference? Prayer makes the difference. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Say everything.
Everything.
Amen. God is concerned about everything of our life. God, I don't want to bother you with a little stuff. No, bother God with a little stuff. He's concerned about everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And what will happen? The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts. And then Paul goes on to say, as he gives us, we'll see the next key to this cure for worry. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," what does he say? Think. The Christian life is not a brainless life. Amen. We're not in some la-la land, just kind of, no. We're use our brains. Hallelujah. Paul tells us early in Philippians, have the mind of Christ. And we are to think, Paul said. Think on these things. God's cure for worry is, first of all, prayer.
Amen.
Then we notice here in verse 8, a second aspect of God's cure. We not only need prayer, we also need to refocus our minds. There's been a number of books written across the years and different titles, but it talks about the battlefield is in the mind. The struggle is in the mind. The war is in the mind. And so Paul is saying here, because we need to refocus our mind. Because the situation, life hits us, and the situation hits, and we begin to think, oh, what's going to happen? And we're thinking about all the awful things. And Paul said, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, whatever things are of good report. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, that is what you're to think. Don't think about all the other stuff. Amen. That word translated think, it means to calculate. When a workman takes is doing a job, they take careful measurements before they begin the task. I got a picture on my wall in the office here, and the implication of the picture is this: measure twice, cut once. Is that a good way to go, Brother Don? All right. Measure twice or three times, cut once. Amen. Because you cut it short, it's over. Yeah. Depending on what it is, you may be in real trouble. So we have to calculate. And we need to refocus our mind, Paul says. Prayer is not all that we need to do when our anxiety levels rise, and they will from time to time. Prayer is certainly the first step, but it is just as certainly not the final step. After we invite God into our situation through prayer, then we need to calculate, we need to carefully analyze the problem in our minds in light of that which is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. Amen.
Amen.
And in God's word and by his spirit, we find what is true and honest and just and pure and lovely of good report. Years ago, when the computer revolution began, the pioneers in the field of computers, they coined a brand new word. In the early days of computers, not many people really knew how to operate them. And even those who had some understanding, they were constantly making mistakes. And sometimes the wrong data was entered and the results, and what resulted was the wrong results. You put the wrong data in, you'll get the wrong results. If the raw data is bad, well, the computer can't do anything good with it. When you what you put into a computer determines what comes out. Amen. Don't blame the computer. It's the programmer. So, amen. If you put good data in, the right data, it'll give you the right answer. Yeah, the opposite is that. So the word that the new word that they coined was GIGO, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. Amen. You know that means that when you put what you put in determines what comes out. If you input garbage, you'll get. You know this. In a similar way, that's how our mind is. You put garbage in, you're going to get garbage. Even though the human mind is far more complex than even the most advanced computer that man has designed, that principle of GIGO is still true. Garbage in, garbage out. Now, those who study the mind's activity, they have determined that the average person has 10,000 separate thoughts each day. Eric, now I know why I'm tired at the end of the day. 10,000 thoughts. That works out to about 3.5 million thoughts a year. And if you live, Brother Don, if you live to be at least 75, you'll have over 26 million different thoughts. Somebody's got a birthday today, somebody's going to have a birthday tomorrow. Not quite 75 yet. Six, that's right, yeah, yours, it is. So you, Brother Don, you've had 26 million different thoughts in your lifetime. Think about that. Every one of those daily 10,000 thoughts represent a choice, a decision to think about this or not think about. How important are our thoughts? Well, Ralph Waldo Emerson, you're familiar with his name, he said this, "Beware of what you set your mind on, because that you surely will become." Norman Vincent Peale, a pastor up in New York years ago, he said, "Change your thoughts and you change the world." Henry Ford kind of took that and reworded it a little, put a little different spin on it. And he said, "Thinking is the hardest work in the world, which is probably why so few people engage in it." And then a lady by the name of Betty Sachella said, "Two thoughts cannot occupy the mind at the same time. So the choice is ours whether or not our thoughts will be constructive." What does this say to us? Even with prayer, and as powerful as prayer can be, we too must choose to think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. Because we can come to an altar or to a closet of prayer, and we can call on God, and we can cry out to God, and we can thank Him, and we can petition Him, and we can give Him praise, and we can give it all to Him, and we can come out, and we can come out thinking, "Oh, I don't know what's going to, I'm going to fall apart," and uh-oh. We had a good prayer, but now we're thinking wrong. Amen. God, change the way I think. Amen. May I think which is true, honest, pure, lovely, of good report. Thus, Paul is challenging us that when we are faced by a situation that threatens us with anxiety, we are to pray, and also we are to bring our minds into it. Amen, amen. We are to set our minds to work contemplating the provisions and the power that are ours in Christ Jesus. Think about what God has given us. Amen. Think about what He's provided. We are to get our minds busy affirming what we know about God. Listen. God has been faithful. Amen. He has been faithful in the past. He'll be faithful in the present, and He'll be faithful in the future. We need to get our minds affirm what we know about God, begin to glorify Him on that, and also what His Word says. And we need to focus our mind and discover what God can do. What's God going to do in our situation? And there are examples we find in the Scriptures, and there are things that He's done in our own life. God help us. Corey Ten Boom said this: worry does not empty tomorrow of its troubles. It empties today of its strength. Pray to God. Refocus the mind. Another step that Paul gives us in verse 9, and he says this: those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do it. Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do it. And again, Paul says, the peace of God shall be with you. So Paul said, whatever you've learned, whatever you've received, whatever you've heard from me, whatever you've seen in me, put it into practice. Have you ever noticed that worry often becomes an excuse for inactivity? Worry doesn't inspire us. It hinders us. If we are overcome by worry, we'll say things like, well, I just can't do anything about it. I'm just too worried. And we kind of look down upon it. And when we do that, what inevitably happens is it stops us from doing anything. It's easier to worry than it is to be active and do something. Amen. Paul says, put into practice what you've learned, what you've received, what you've heard. And so this is the point that we have. The third part of this cure is that we need active obedience to what we know. We cannot overcome worry while being passive. We pray. We call upon God. We refocus our mind. We think about what He's provided in His Word. And then we obey. Not just think about it, but then we obey what God has said in His Word. And so Paul says that we need an attitude of obedience, active obedience. The things which you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, these things, do it. Amen. Do it. And the God of peace will be with you. So this is the third aspect of the cure for worry. We pray, we refocus our mind, we actively obey what we have learned, received, heard, and seen. Being like Paul and others in Scripture. We are to actively obey. The greatest thing that we can do to experience victory is obey. Actively obey God's Word. Obey what's been revealed to us. Listen, if it hadn't been revealed to us, God's not going to hold us responsible for it. But if it's been revealed to us, we will. And we need to obey it. And when He does reveal it to us, we need to obey it. When we obey Christ, we know that we are doing the will of the Father in heaven. Actively obeying God will keep worry at bay. So when faced by situations that threatens us, when the anxiety, surely we need to pray. We invite God right into the midst of it. Refocus. That is, set your mind to work analyzing our resources and alternatives. And then obey. Put into action what you've learned, what you received, what you heard, seen, based upon God's Word. Have you ever heard of, it's a theologian, his name is Linus. This is what Linus said to Charlie Brown. He said, Charlie, worrying won't stop the bad stuff from happening. It just stops you from enjoying the good. Pretty good, Linus. Charles Schultz, he was good at sliding in good biblical stuff. Worry is not going to stop what's the bad stuff, the things that are our situation. Amen. Sometimes actually worry is going to make it worse. But what it will do, it'll stop us from enjoying what God has provided. So what do we learn from Paul's words here tonight? One, worry is not a reflection on us, it's a reflection on God. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we have been adopted into the family of God. We belong to Him. Because we are part of God's family, we are God's heir, and everything that belongs to God is available to us. And He is a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think because of the power of God that's in us. Yet when we allow another power to dominate, the power of anxiety, it paralyzes us into fretful inactivity. And this is a reflection on God, to whom we belong and whom we serve. Secondly, prayer is not our last resource to anxiety, but it should be our first response. We're usually guilty of probably two errors in dealing with anxiety sometimes. The first is we try to face it without prayer. And the second is we try to face it with only prayer. And either pathway is not enough. Prayer is the beginning, but it's not the ending of dealing with anxiety. We must bring God into it, the situation, through prayer. And we must bring ourselves into it through reflection, how we refocus in our mind and action, obeying the Word of God.
Amen.
And then thirdly, peace with God comes through faith. The peace of God comes through trust. Because I put my faith in Him, I have peace with God. Because I trust Him, I have the peace, is the ultimate result of true faith. And if we really believe in God, in who He is, in what He can do, and what He will do, then surely we'll trust Him. Amen. In Christ, trust and rely upon Him. And then we can sing, not just "Don't worry, be happy," but we can sing, "Don't worry, I'm rejoicing in the Lord." Hallelujah. We can declare, as a child of God, I will not be anxious for anything. Why? Because I know that the God that I serve is adequate for every situation I will ever face.
Amen.
He is more than enough. Amen.
Amen.
You may be facing some things, maybe even tonight, your family, I don't know. But you just need some prayer time. And maybe in the prayer time, you need to maybe be praying, "Lord, I'm bringing it to you, but Lord, I also need you to help me to think right. And God, help me to know how I can obey you in the way that I don't reflect bad on you. God, I want to lift up your name. I want people to see that not only have I put my faith in you, but I trust you each day of my life." Amen. Come, if you will, around the altar if you're able to, and let's just spend a time of prayer. And need to pray between the pews there, that's okay too. Let's come and spend some time in prayer tonight.